It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. We tend to think of embassies and consulates as places where diplomacy happens, and they are that, but they are also cultural ambassadors for the arts of their home countries. Late last year, the Mexican consulate here in Milwaukee loaned Latino Arts on the near south side a group of photographs of famous Mexican artists Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera.
Rather than simply creating an exhibit of the photos alone, managing artistic director Jacobo Lovo decided to ask local artists to respond to the photographs as well. He then combined the resulting artworks with the photos for an exhibit called Diego y Frida, A Smile Halfway Through the Journey. I met Lovo at the gallery and wondered why Frida Kahlo seems to be having a moment 65 years after her death.
Well, I think there has a positive and a negative to it, being that she's such a powerful artist, a female figure as well. So that's a positive. And then a lot of people seem to gravitate to her story and the artwork that she created, which is all great. But I think some of that cachet that's forming now in a general public tends to be because she's been more commercialized. So you see her on wallets, you see her on backpacks, you see her on t-shirts, which, you know, kind of lessens her legacy, I think. And that's why we decided to continue with this exhibit, this parallel exhibit, and then later on January 28th, we're going to be doing a lunch and learn, which is going to be getting a little bit deeper into who she really was as a feminist, as somebody that has a gender fluidity. And keep in mind that Frida lived in the 1930s. Which was, you know, amazing because she's such a powerful feminine figure and a powerful artist, period, that she really would be more fitted to be now in the 21st century. But yet she was living in the 1930s, you know, laying those seeds to make people more accepted even then.
For people who don't know what her artistic background is, was she considered, you said surrealism, and certainly her work is surrealist, but did she pull on folk traditions as well? Was she considered in the folk art tradition?
Right, you know, and some scholars that focus on Frida might even bring up the fact that she probably wouldn't consider herself a surrealist. Most of the work that she is known for are her self-portraits. And she really just painted a kind of like her inner space. She was very much, you know, a very bold introvert. She painted those self-portraits, like I mentioned, but they were really just kind of telling her own personal story of how she felt. So she was definitely somebody that wore her heart on her sleeve through
which
her artwork.
Which is not really surrealism.
Which is not. But the imagery, when you see it, is very much surrealistic in nature. But I think she just kind of did her own thing. She had her own voice, and she was not afraid to communicate it through her artwork.
When we look at her work in the context of all the other artwork that was happening in the world at that time, it was a very fertile time for visual artists.
Yeah.
Did she break new ground? You know, do we look at her from an art historical perspective and say, that's a Kahlo thing? You know, it didn't happen before her, the way, say, certain kinds of things didn't happen before Picasso or didn't happen before somebody else that kind of took something and went in a different direction with it that no one else had done.
Right. Well, if we're thinking about what Frida and her legacy has left, and the bold use of color, the strong reference to that inner space and communicating how you feel through imagery, but then also rooting it in your cultural heritage. It's something very much her signature. And if we look at somebody who was her contemporary, like Remedios Varos, who was a Spaniard expatriate that lived and flourished as a surrealist, a fellow female surrealist in Mexico City at the same time, if you put their work side by side, they're gonna be completely different. And you're gonna see how, while they were both kind of very much introverted and talking about that inner beauty, the color palette and the imagery are going to be completely different. But if you see a Frida Kahlo painting and you see another one, you start definitely recognizing who Frida Kahlo is as an artist, and you might be able to pick out many more after that.
Right, there's a signature that basically says you look at it and you go, oh yeah, it's like when you see Picasso, you kind of go, oh, I know.
Right. Everything.
Even
from,
if I don't know that painting, I just kind of
from the
know.
Color palette to the composition. Uh-huh. She came from a family where her father was a photographer. So indirectly or directly, we don't know exactly, but she learned a sense of composition that is very, very sophisticated and is very evident in her work.
She and Diego had a very tumultuous relationship.
To say the least,
yes. And obviously it fed, well, it certainly fed her art. Did it feed his?
I believe so. You know, as terrible as they were as a couple, the respect, the mutual respect that they had for each other as artists never waned. It was always there. They were married twice in their life, and they were always kind of each other's rock when it came to artwork, and motivated each other. Frida was about 22, 26 years younger than Diego, and she sought him out. And once Diego saw one of her pieces, he completely fell in love with her, and as an artist too. So, you know, it's something very interesting to study their relationship, because Diego was, you know, was not the most straight arrow as of men. He was very much a womanizer, well, she for her time period was very much a trendsetter, where she was very bold and very much was gender fluid. You know, they mirrored each other for good and bad.
She was also in a lot of pain, too, particularly towards the end of her life. And that certainly influenced her art as well.
Definitely. One of the things that Frida always had to deal with was that she suffered a very horrific accident. She was riding on a bus that was the crash into a truck, and she was impaled in that accident, which left her in a lot of pain throughout the rest of her life. And she had also suffered from polio as a young girl. A lot of the work that she created reflects that physical and emotional pain. Unfortunately, because of the accidents and the injury that she suffered, she was not able to bear children in her life. And that was one of the biggest emotional pains that she had to reconcile with through her artwork.
We're standing here in front of a picture of them when they were quite young.
At 4 years old, and those are her parents. Okay. And on the other side, we have Diego at 4 years old, and those are Diego's parents. And in the middle, we have a photograph of their first wedding day.
It's amazing. You just look at them, and if you know anything about their story, you think, oh no, don't. But at the same time, would we have had the art that we would have had from both of them? Who knows?
Yeah. That's a very much an interesting question to look into, because when they met, Diego was already pretty well known as a muralist. And then Frida was much younger, like I said, and then she came and sought him out to show him one of her paintings. And then that relationship kind of grew from there.
Grew from there for the rest of their lives,
yeah,
pretty much. Yeah,
exactly.
Are there any other photographs or artwork you'd like to point out?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So in the gallery, we have this amazing, very large-scale portrait of Frida Kahlo, created by a local artist named Juan Flores. And it's a large canvas, over 12 feet tall by 4 feet. And it's just a striking portrait of Frida, but she's also holding a calla lily. And it's a tribute to Diego. So it's a very subtle way to include both artists, Diego and Frida. Diego is really well known for one of his series called The Flower Sellers, where he shows Mexican peasants that are carrying bundles of calla lilies to market to sell. And both Diego and Frida were one of the most powerful moments, or one of the most powerful points that they left in their legacy, was how they both decided to focus on enriching and bringing value to the labor that the indigenous people of Mexico provided. At that point in history, they were looked down upon and treated very much as a lower class. And Diego and Frida were very proud of their indigenous culture and heritage, and they brought it to light in a very positive and beautiful way through their artwork.
Has that translated to modern day? I mean, do artists in Mexico now, or artists around the world, not just in Mexico, look to them and have pulled some of those things forward into their work now? Do we see that in contemporary art?
I think it depends which realm of contemporary art you're looking at. With Diego's murals, which were very politically charged, he definitely left that legacy behind for other artists to follow. It's a powerful one. If we look at the murals that he had created here in the United States for the Rockefellers in New York that were eventually destroyed, and then the ones that still exist now in Detroit City, you know, they are very much about labor movements. They're very much about the working class. class and empowering them to show the value that they bring to society. So I think that those ideas that the working class should be empowered and validated for their hard work is something that still resonates to this day.
So what do you hope that people get when they come in here and maybe certainly see the photographs for the first time? And this is all new artwork.
Our goal is to continue to educate people about the cultural arts that come from all over Latin America. And we hope for them to get to know Diego Rivera and Frida Kahlo a little bit more in depth.
Just the unibrow.
Just not the unibrow. Or, you know, that when they see a t-shirt that has either Diego or Frida on them, they will know a little bit more of the rich history that they've left in the art world. And then also, we want the viewers to know that this exhibit gave us an opportunity to invite a variety of artists from throughout the community. Latino arts normally focuses on featuring Latino artists, but through this exhibit, we decided to invite other artists from all over the community because it mirrors perfectly the legacy they left. You know, Diego and Frida are artists that are talked about in classrooms to all people, different backgrounds, and different heritages. So we have invited many different artists to come and exhibit this time around.
Jacobo, it's always great to see you. Thank you so much for taking time.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Jacobo Lobo is the Managing Artistic Director at Latino Arts. Diego E. Frida, A Smile Halfway Through the Journey, is on exhibit through February at the Latino Arts Gallery. There is more information at WUWM.com.